Okay, Father, we thank you for your word tonight. Father, we just thank you, Lord God, that what you're going to speak to us tonight is not only that you speak in visions, but why you do that, Father, and that each one of us has that opportunity to have a vision from you, and it's just a matter of knowing how to get to that place. And so, Father, tonight I ask that your Holy Spirit just reveal to us your secret things, your mysteries that you reveal in visions to us. Some of us probably have had visions and not even realized that what they were. And so, Father, and those in the room here that you plan to show a vision to for the very first time, Father, now they're going to know what it is when they see it. And so I thank you, Lord God, that as we increase in knowledge, you're able to do more with us. You're able to show us things in the way that you speak, in all the different ways that you do as we increase in knowledge. And so, Father, thank you for tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Okay. All right, tonight we're going to talk about mysteries revealed in visions. When I was thinking about this whole thing that we've been studying on hearing God's voice, I was thinking, you know, it's kind of like a Geiger counter. Remember those things that they had these long things and they checked to see if they can find any metal, and then the closer you get to it, the thing just starts really going off real fast and you get louder and louder and more frequent. And I think that's how it is with God's voice. The closer you get to him, the louder he gets, you know? And it's so obvious. You're able to hear him, and the first time you just know that you've heard him in the different ways that we have talked about or in all of the 8 previous classes. I know that each one of those ways, he's able to do that with you now because you've gotten some knowledge in that. And tonight, he wants to actually do it through visions. And one of the scriptures that, you know, the Holy Spirit brought to me while I was praying tonight was in Romans 8:16. It says, the Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit. And I thought, you know, that is so true, because visions come from your spirit, from your heart, from deep down within you. And God speaks to our inner being. And these visions come out. They come out from the inside of you. So when God wants to give you direction, he's going to speak a lot of times from the inside out, not from the outside in. And so as your heart gets closer to him, he desires you to hear his voice, not just to know his word, not just to read his word and do the will, the written will of God, the written word of God, because that is something that's very important. And we already know the will of God. All we have to do is open our Bible and read it. But you know what? In Jeremiah, I think it's Jeremiah 7. No, it was in Joshua. Joshua, where he was talking about going around the city of Jericho. That was not written in the Bible, telling them how to do that, giving them the battle, the strategy to winning this battle. I want you for 7 days to march around Jericho. One time, don't say anything, just march around. And on the 7th day, I want you to march around 7 times, and then I want you to shout. Teruah, shout. I mean, what a battle strategy. If the average person would have looked at that, they would have thought you're nuts. That wasn't in the Bible to tell them how to do that. They had to hear God's voice. So God's voice told them that. That's why not always do we know what to do. Have you ever been in that place where you say, you know what? I don't know. Should I move? Should I change jobs? Should I, you know, all these things that are really not in the Bible? there's not a book in the Bible that says, Trina. This is the book of Trina. Now, Trina, on such and such a day, you're going to get a new job. And you can just open it up. You can just open it up, and you know, oh, gosh, on that day, you know. It isn't. But, you know, your book is in the heart of the Holy Spirit. And so he knows your name, and he knows exactly what he wants you to do when he wants you to do it. He has the whole strategy for your whole life prepared, but we have to get close enough to God to hear what he's saying. Okay, this is what I want you to do tomorrow. Remember when Jesus said, I only do what I see my Father doing. I only say what I hear my Father saying. He can get into the Bible, the Old Testament, and read it, but those scrolls he didn't carry around with him. You know, did you understand what I'm saying? They were in the synagogue, but when he went out in prayer, he was there alone with his Father, and the scrolls were left in the synagogue. And so it was in his heart, though. And so as he spent time alone with God, God was able to speak to him about the specifics for that day. Think about Jesus. He would go out early in the morning, way before it became light. My guess, it was probably around 4 o'clock in the morning. And my guess, if I was to guess how many hours Jesus was out there before he started his day, I'd say at least 4 hours, 4 to 5 hours that he was in prayer before he got up. And then he went out, and then he knew, because the Father said, okay, today you're going to heal so-and-so. There's a man that's going to come to you, and he's going to be blind. And since this is not a healing, because his eyes had never developed since birth, this is going to be a creative miracle. So what I want you to do is take dirt, because that's what man was made out of, and I want you to spit in it, and I want you to put it on his eyes and do a creative miracle. Wow. Do you see what I'm saying? Wow. Did you ever see that? He did that because the guy was blind from birth. Wow. Other people, he just lay hands on them and, you know, they got healed because it was a healing. But this man's creativeness was not complete. So he spit on in dirt and put it on his eyes and voila. But you know what? There are specifics that he had to get from his father. His father said he was born blind. There was an act inside his eye that was not complete. So complete it today. So Jesus probably said, well, complete it. So man was made from the dirt. Okay, what I'm going to do is going to spit on the dirt. I mean, do you see what I'm saying? But he probably got all those strategies from hearing his father's voice, from hearing what he said to do the next day. And so I honestly believe that God can speak that way very clearly. And just like he spoke to my husband and I, we want you to have that land. So what does he do? He gives it to us in a dream. He shows us both in the middle of the land. That's your land. And in that land, it was ours. In the dream, it was ours. And in my husband's dream, it was his too. We knew we possessed it. But you know what we've been claiming in the shower was that three scriptures that had to do with giving our land to us. You know, we possess our land. They were in Deuteronomy and Joshua. And so we were proclaiming that every day and said, God, you know, that he gives us our land, our possession. We possess the land that our Father, how God has given us. And so from then on, we believed that God was going to show us a land. And because of our belief, you know, he spoke to us in a dream. Well, you know what? He does the same thing in visions. Now, visions are a little bit different than dreams. Dreams are when you're sleeping, you know, you get a dream and you wake up and like, wow, that was interesting. Sometimes, though, you can get a dream inside a vision. We're going to talk a little bit about that. But then sometimes you're awake. So is that a dream? But if you're really awake, chances are it's more of a vision. The other day I was just walking on my treadmill and I'm just praising God and all of a sudden I'm on the second floor and this angel walks by. And he was his eye level was at my level. And you know what he did? He just looked at me, he smiled, just nodded his head. And I'm like, I was waving back with my jaw, my mouth open. I said, an angel? I thought, you know, how often you get to see into the spirit realm, discerning of spirits like that. But to me, I just thought it was, God opened my spiritual eyes. I saw a vision of an angelic host. You know, he's a big guy too. And it was like he told me, I got the perimeter taken care of. yeah, okay. And so, but anyway, this whole series is designed to help you to develop your listening skills. And as you study, I mean, don't just listen to these tapes just one time. Don't just read these notes just one time. Once a year, at least, go through them over and over again. The more, and get any kind of tapes, any kind of anything you get, with somebody who hears the voice of God, and listen to them. To me, that's the number one most important thing that any Christian could ever want, is to hear the voice of their Father.
Yes.
Duh. Yes. You know? We have a relationship with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the great I Am. Isn't that the most amazing thing, to be able to know him, to hear his voice, to see what he has to say to you personally?
Oh, yes.
What does he want you to do today so that you can walk totally 100% in the will of God? Hallelujah. So make sure that you follow these things. The last session next week, I'm going to give you a list of books that I listen to read. And I'm always in them. I didn't read them just one time, and I mark them up. And if portions of them are not marked up, that means I haven't read that part yet. I mean, that's just the way it is with me. And then a lot of times when it's all marked up, I'll usually go through just the marked up things maybe once a year. I'm always wanting to glean more from God. And sometimes the Holy Spirit will just say, pick up that whole book this time and read the whole thing because you missed a lot. So eventually, you'll be able to tell the difference as you study between your voice, the enemy's voice, and God's voice, because he wants you to do that. And as we build a history of listening to him, and he knows that, in just even in the small details, he's going to talk to you about big things. Big things that he has planned. Just like he said to Abraham, would I dare, do away with Sodom and Gomorrah before I tell my friend Abraham what I'm going to do? God will want to tell us big things that are going to happen. I look forward to those kinds of things too, and he has told me some things. Learning to listen to God is fun, but it's difficult too. It's not an easy thing. There's simple things that we have to do, but they're not easy. I mean, there's a difference between simple and easy. You have to progressively go after God. He says, draw near to me, and I'll draw near to you. So you have to come. You have to do something. You have to be in a progressive movement toward him. And when he sees that, he knows, aha, she's a serious one. She wants to hear my voice. And I, like Sue said in Psalm 18, I will move heaven and earth. When she was saying that psalm today, this week the Lord gave me the last part of that psalm about the delight. And I thought, wow, that's kind of neat. Now she repeated it today in class. And I thought about, it's kind of like the mama bear, that the little bear cub, if somebody comes up to them, that mama bear, won't you touch my kid? So I think that God is cool. But we have to stay in this childlike, humble mode to hear God. It's like going to ground zero, learning as a child, coming to God as a child and saying, you know what? I really want to know how to hear your voice. And I humble myself and say, teach me, even if it's a small way. Tonight I asked the Lord, I want to start hearing your voice more. Would you show me if there's a need inside this body of Christ tonight? And as I laid there in prayer, and after praying for about an hour in the Spirit, around the house, that's how I usually do. I just walk around and pray in the Spirit. He showed me two things, and one of them was the healing. And so I thought, wow, God, somebody needed to be healed here. Maybe there is somebody still here that needs to be healed, but I know Jessica needs to be healed. A little 10-year-old girl. God loves that little girl. And so he let me know. It would be neat if he gave me the name, but it's a process, okay? There are people out there that God tells them specific things and give them names, gives them phone numbers, give them address. There's somebody named Jessica here, and this is your address. And God has done that to people. I have witnessed, I was at Kim Clement, his meeting, and I watched that man, he's a prophet. I could not believe it. He calls someone up because someone sneezed. They sneezed, right? And he says, who just sneezed? Come on up here. And he goes, your husband, and he named her husband, and she wasn't there that night, and he started to go on and on about her husband, named him and everything. And he says, okay, now who's such and such? And he named the woman that she came with her. No. Says, you tell her to come on up here. So she's like, yes, I'd be doing the same thing. I mean, this is that they're so in tune to the Spirit of God that God can tell names and numbers and tell them all about a person. Wow. I remember prophesying to someone else in another church, and the Lord started telling me that she's like a beautiful crystal. What I didn't know was she had a crystal store. I was like, she told me afterwards, I'm like, whoa, that's cool. I love it when God does that kind of stuff. So God wants us to stay in a place, a humble place to hear him. And he wants to be able to speak any way he wants to speak. Mm-hmm. Don't dictate the way he wants to speak. No, God, I just want you to speak to me in visions, because we're talking about visions. No, he may say, no, today I want to speak to you in the inner spirit. Or maybe today I just want to speak to you in the word. Okay, open the Bible to such and such a place and read this scripture. Or read this chapter in Acts 10 or something, you have to be obedient. And if you have just a little whim, even if you think, oh, it's just me, do it anyway. You might find out it's God. God says, you were one spirit with him, right? Yes. We're one spirit. That means when we think things, chances are it could be God. It's either our mind or our spirit. And if it's our spirit, God is building up our spirit. Okay? And so if it comes out of your spirit, guess what? It's from God. And so, well, now let's go to Numbers. Numbers 12. God is speaking to Moses here, or actually to the to Miriam and Aaron, actually, about Moses. And so Acts 12, I'm going to read 1 through 8, and then I'm going to talk a little bit about that. Now, and Miriam and Aaron spoke against Moses because of an Ethiopian woman whom he had married, for he had married an Ethiopian woman. Ethiopian women were black, and so Miriam and Aaron had a problem with that. God was not happy with Miriam and Aaron, okay? And they said, has the Lord indeed spoken only to Moses? Has he not spoken also by us? In other words, they could prophesy and they could hear God's voice and speak it out too. And the Lord heard it. Now the man Moses was very meek, very humble, above all the men which were upon the face of the earth. And the Lord spoke suddenly to Moses and to Aaron and to Miriam. Come out, you three, to the tabernacle of the congregation. And they three came out. About that time, if I was Miriam and Aaron, I'd be trembling. It's like a little kid that mom just called. And they caught you in something. And the Lord came down in a pillar of the cloud and stood in the door of the tabernacle and called Aaron and Miriam, and they both came forth. And he said, hear now my words. If there be a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make myself known to him in a vision, and I will speak to him in a dream. My servant Moses is not so, who is faithful in all my house. With him I speak mouth to mouth, even apparently or plainly, and not in dark speeches, and the similitude of the Lord shall he behold. Wherefore then were you not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? So you see here, God, there's a number of ways that God said he spoke. Now, he was just chastising them. If you read on and on, you find out that Miriam comes down with leprosy, but they prayed for her. Aaron begged God to take it back, and he did. But let me show you a few things here. First, he says, he said in verse 6, he says, that I speak to him in a dream, okay? And that is, I think, the most least interference with the conscious mind. Mm-hmm. We've got so much stuff going up in here all the time that it's the least resistance, I think, with God. In other words, God can come in a dream and tell you something and you can't resist him because it's in a dream, okay? He's just going to come and tell you stuff. And that's what he wants to do. He wants to speak to you in dreams, but we're not going to resist him. We're not going to say, like if I came up and said, you know, God said this, this, and this, and you could resist me and saying, well, I don't know about that. Mm-hmm. But when God comes to you in a dream, it's like, yeah. You're like, okay. You know, I couldn't resist God there. And I think that's why it's like a window into your heart, too. God will reveal your heart through dreams. And we're going to talk about that next week. But a vision there, too, we see in verse 6 that he says, and I make myself known to him in a vision. Now, vision, I think, is our mind is active, but the Holy Spirit is in charge, okay? So your mind is moving and active, but all of a sudden the Holy Spirit kind of darts into there and has a say-so. And, you know, you can ignore it or whatever, but that word, vision, means a mirror, a looking glass, or an appearance. And so if something appears in front of you, it's kind of obvious, isn't it? Or it could be a looking glass or a mirror. Now, mirror, I thought, well, when I saw that in the Hebrew, I said, a mirror, when I'm looking at a mirror, I'm looking at me. You know, so maybe it's God trying to say, I want to show you something about you that you don't see otherwise. So, and of course, he does that in dreams, too. Then, of course, he talked about direct speech, mouth to mouth, right? Then he talked in verse 8 about, and he says, in dark speeches. Well, that word is, I'm not even try to say what the Greek is here. It's chidha, and it means parables, riddles, like a proverb, a trick, maxim, brief statement of a general principle, truth, or rule of conduct. And when I was thinking about that, You know, Jesus did parables, didn't he? The people didn't quite understand it, so his disciples got him off to the side later and said, okay, what do you mean? You want to break this down into language we can understand? And a lot of times, God will speak to us that way. You might, in any way, I mean, a lot of times he speaks that way in dreams. They're parables, they're like riddles. And Samson, you know, like had a riddle. What he did to the Philistines, and he said, you know, if you can figure out this riddle, then I will buy all these things for you and give you all these things, and if you can't figure it out, you have to give me all these things. And it was, but it was a riddle. You have to try and figure it out. And I think that's kind of fun, actually. When God gives you a dream in a parable form, and you just have to like, oh man, what does this mean? You know, and you get all your books out and said, okay, a car means this, and red means this, and you know, you go on and you try and put it all together. And it actually is a lot of fun. It's like putting a puzzle together. And when you all of a sudden it fits, you know it. But sometimes it might take a week or two, maybe a month before you put it all together and you get the fullness of what God's trying to tell you. He might give you a follow-up dream or a follow-up word from someone that is part of the puzzle piece. And then, of course, he said he talks in similitudes like he said he did to Moses. He said, and the similitude of the Lord shall he behold. Wherefore then were you not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? So the similitude means it's like a shape or a form, an appearance. So that's a similitude. Similitude, instead of phantom, an embodiment, a manifestation, or a likeness. So God could do that too. I think that's a lot of times what that could have been what Moses saw when he was up there with Jesus on the mountain or with the Lord on the mountain, because the Lord said, I'm going to pass by you, but I'm going to cover your eyes so you can't see my face, you just see my back part. And it could have been a similitude of the Lord. I mean, I don't know. But I sure think that the angels that we see and the demons that we see, their appearances, their similitudes, they're something. I know, so. So what is a vision? Let's talk about what a vision is. This is the definition. It's a redemptive revelation, an experience of the sight. It is a literal, spiritual, or physical happening, and is not a product of the mind or the imagination or logic. In other words, you didn't think it up. If all of a sudden you're not thinking of anything and all of a sudden something flashes in your mind, you see something, chances are that's a vision. Now people have seen visions of God, you know, to where they're on the ground. They're down for the count. So it all depends on what it is and how you're going to react to it. You just don't know how you're going to respond and how powerful the vision is. I think there's two kinds of visions. One is internal and one is external. Now the internal, you see it with your inner eye. The eye of your spirit. You know, we have senses on the inside of us too, because we're actually spiritual. We just have this body that has senses, but inside of us, we have a spiritual eye, we have spiritual ears, we have spiritual smell, taste buds. We have everything we have outside, in the physical body, we have spiritually also. That's why you can smell fragrances that nobody else could smell. And you're like, where's that coming from? And, you know, I've smelled bad stuff, and I didn't know, like, where, you know, I'm over there smelling the toilet. Like there's got to be, is the septic backing up or something, to find out it wasn't. That was demonic power that was present that was trying to disrupt the family, and I had to rebuke that thing. God allowed me to smell into that another dimension to see that there's an unseen force trying to play games in our home. And so we have to ask God to show us those kinds of things, to open up our spiritual senses, the discerning of spirits, so we can discern those spirits and those ugly things, or even the good things, the fun things that are out there, just like that angel that I saw. But anyway, you see with inner eye, a lot of times I think if you wake up and you can't tell whether it was a dream or really, really happened, chances are you had a vision, even though it was placed in a dream. It was that the dream was the container that it was in. It might have been an actual vision that you saw. And I'll show you also that in Acts. Let's go to Acts 10. This is where Peter had a vision. Actually, what happened was he went into a trance. Acts 10:10. He's up on top of the roof. He's during the sixth hour, which is noon, and he's praying. okay? And he becomes very hungry. So what was on his mind? Food. And he wanted to eat, obviously. But while he was there praying, he falls into a trance. And a trance is like a euphoric state. And he was praying, and he's just worshiping. You know, he's hungry, his belly is churning. So God uses the opportunity to teach him something in a trance or in a vision. And he teaches him about all these beasts that were all manner of four-footed beasts of the earth, all these wild animals, creepy things, and fowls of the air. And he tells him, kill and eat. And Peter's like, yeah, forget it. I don't eat anything unclean. So God was trying to show him something in that. He was trying to show him that, look, what you consider unclean, the Gentiles, I consider clean now. I want them in my kingdom. So I am trying to teach you something in this. In God, in these visions, God is going to teach you. In fact, just hold, you know, you can hold your place there. But when we go back to Numbers 12, this word that speak in verse 6, and it says, and will speak to him in a dream. You know what that word is? That word is debar, debar. That's a Hebrew word, debar. And the Strong says it's arranged words for the purpose of answering. In other words, God speaks to you to answer you. For appointing you to do something, commanding, communing. See, God's speaking to you so he can commune with you, to teach you. There's also declaring. It's the word declaring to you. And I'm looking at this word, I'm like, oh my God, and promising. So all this word, all this speaking has to do, we could take that really far. God wants to speak to you to teach you. God wants to speak to you to commune with you. God wants to speak to you to command you to do things. God wants to speak to you to answer you a question that you have asked him. So that's the purpose of these dreams and these visions and all these things. So if that's the purpose, guess what? We need to be having visions. We need to be having dreams, because that's the way God uses to speak to these very things to us. And so, I mean, I got excited when I saw that, and I'm like, wow, this is some pretty cool stuff that God wants to do. In that one word, that's all that word in Strong's, that's what that word means. When he speaks to you, this is what he's trying to tell you. He wants to do, he wants to teach you. Can you imagine God wants to teach you in a vision? He wants to teach you in a dream? Teach you. He wants to teach you. He taught me how to get out of a curse that a witch placed on me in a dream. He taught me a prayer that got me out of a curse. I mean, I was in a curse for 2 weeks. And I knew, I didn't realize it while I was in a curse until God told me in the dream I was in a curse, and he gave me the prayer. I prayed the prayer, and bam, I was out of the whole situation. I was back to normal again. So God wants to teach us. So don't disregard visions and don't disregard dreams. In fact, I think that's the way he likes to speak most, completely. You know why? Because we're not going to say no to him in those. We're not going to kind of resist him a little bit, because we're at ease, we're comfortable. And in a dream, you're sort of, when somebody's sleeping, they're vulnerable, mm-hmm. aren't they? That's why it's very dangerous when, you know, I had foster kids that the people used to come in and invade their homes because their parents were druggies. And they used to grab the kids out of their sleep and put guns to their head and said, you don't give us the right drugs, you gave us some fake stuff, we'll blow your kid's head off. And I had these kids, and I had to deal with the screaming in the middle of the night and the jumping and the running around, thinking they're right in the middle of that again, because you're so vulnerable at night. Well, God knows you're vulnerable too. And so he wants to come and invade your space. But that's a good invasion, not a bad invasion. He wants to show you some things and get your thinking right. So anyway, these are internal visions. Paul had an internal vision of Jesus also. Well, he also had one when Jesus came to him and told him to encourage him, Paul. Well, Paul also had one in Acts 16:9, where the man from Macedonia came and said, come over here, come to us. Paul was thinking about going another way. And this man in a vision comes and says, come, 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 come. Who knows? Maybe that guy was in prayer and intercession. We need somebody over here to help us. We don't know enough of the word. And that it was like that man's spirit left him in prayer and intercession and stood right in front of Paul and said, come, we need you over here in Macedonia. Mm-hmm. Asia Minor. And so Paul perceived that he should go there. Would you perceive that too? I remember that I was ministering to a young girl who had run away from home. And in the middle of that, I saw three people on a bike. Two people, one male and two female. She was one of them. And on that bike, they were going 100 miles an hour on a two-wheel bike, each of them. And the other two could handle real well, the male and the female. But my friend, she couldn't handle it. And as she went around the turn going 100 miles an hour, the bike fell. Before she hit the ground, the vision stopped. But the Lord gave this to me while my eyes were open. It was like a movie projector right in front of my eyes for her sake. And I said, I just had a vision of you on a bicycle. And of course, she wasn't riding the bicycle. And I said, but you're in a fast lane, kiddo. I said, you're on a bicycle with two other people, a male and a female. And she got real silent. And I said, who's out there with you? She goes, my two cousins. And I said, do they happen to be one male and one female? She goes, yes. And I said, are they in the fast lane, like partying and doing all kinds? She goes, yes. And I said, let me tell you something. The Lord just showed me that if you continue in that route, you're going to fall. They can handle it because they're so used to that. I says, but you're not used to that. You're a Christian. You're a godly woman. The enemy is going to get you, and you're going to fall, and you're going to get hurt real bad, if not die. You better come back home. And she did, you know, and now she's married and happy and all that kind of stuff. But, you know, that is, God will give you those things for other people. Be looking for that. That's how you encourage other people, when God gives you those kinds of things. And so the other one was, I had a vision while I was laying on my bed. All of a sudden, the Holy Spirit comes upon me, and I'm shaking. I mean, I'm literally shaking. I'm having all those goosebumps all over my body, you know? I'm electrified. I'm like, what is going on? And I close my eyes, and I'm at a church. And I'm there, and the Holy Spirit is preaching, and everybody's falling out on the floor, is slain in the Spirit. And I'm one of the first ones down the aisle, too, and I'm like, whoa, and I'm still electrified, right? And I open my eyes, and I'm electrified on my bed. And I close my eyes again, and I'm back. And that happened like four times. I'm like, what is going on? This is weird. You know, but it's like, it was a vision God showed me. It was a vision. I was experiencing something. And so, anyway, I think they're internal things. Mm-hmm. Then you have an external vision. This is like when Elisha, he saw the hosts of God in chariots. There were fire. This was the Syrian king. Somehow he knew the strategies of Israel, and he couldn't. He placed his troops in a position so he can capture them. But Elisha, in his prayer time, was like he was in the chamber of the king, and he knew all the strategies of the enemy. And so he would go and tell the king of Israel, "Hey, don't go over there. That's where their camp is. They're going to catch you." And the king of Syria was mad. He says, okay, who's the snitch in my company here? And they're like, nobody. It's Elijah. It's that prophet over there. It's like he knows things that are happening in your chamber, king. So, I mean, wouldn't that be neat if God would come to you and tell you the strategies of the enemy when he's trying to trap you? Amen. But to know that kind of stuff is a needful thing, because we're in a war. We have to know where our enemy has positioned himself. And so God can come and show us these external visions and show us what's happening in the spirit realm. And he did that. And his sidekick, Elijah's sidekick, couldn't figure, you know, look at all the army out there. The Syrians are out there. They come to get you, Elijah, because you've been squealing and telling on them. And Elijah is saying, Lord, open his eyes. Let him see. What's he do? He opens his eyes and he sees the whole hill of chariots of fire, of angels ready to go to come to his rescue. And it's like, wow, that's an external vision. You actually see things right in front of you. God just opens your eyes to see them. And there, a lot of times you see demons and angels like I did. I think when I saw the angel that day at the house, that was just an open vision. That was an external one, not an internal. And so, but with the girl and the three bikes, that was an internal one. So can you see the difference there? Okay. So there was one time that I had another external one. I was coming up from California. We were going around a mountain. It was really windy. Have you ever gone up from Southern California along the mountains there to Oregon? There's a, oh, You windy, windy, windy. Have you ever done that? You're going to get sick. For those of you who get sick going around in this, you get sick going around. And we were going, and right away I saw a man on a motorbike coming in the opposite direction. And I told him, I said, well, be careful. There's a guy right around the corner. And he's okay, you know, he slows down. And sure enough, there was a guy on a motorbike and came by. And, you know, I didn't think anything of it, you know. And Doug goes, how'd you know that? And I said, well, I saw him. And he goes, Ginny, there's a mountain between us. I'm like, you're right. How did I see that? It was like I was able to look right through the mountain to the other side. I didn't, you know what? If he didn't point that out, I wouldn't even known I had an external vision. I would have never even known it. And really, I was thinking, I was like, how did I know that? How could I look through a mountain? I just went freaked out. I really did. I'm like, whoa. That was really cool. So I bet you a lot of you guys have had visions. You didn't even know it. So start looking for those kinds of things because they're kind of fun. I think they are anyway. But an angel appears to Cornelius, the Italian, from the Italian band. I'm a full Italian, so I'm full American too, though. And he was praying. He worshiped Yahweh, Jehovah, but he didn't know about Jesus, the Messiah, yet. And so because he worshiped and he gave alms and he was in fasting that day, the angel came and showed up and said, send for Peter. Meanwhile, Peter's having this vision of the animals. God's trying to correct his thinking so that he can come to Cornelius' house and the first Gentile, being an Italian, into the kingdom of God can show up on the front steps of the kingdom of God. And so it's neat how God just orchestrates things in our lives. Amen. I'll tell you what, I've never had so much fun as when God starts giving you dreams and visions and showing you things. And you start putting it all together. I had someone on the internet email me back because they've been having dreams and visions. And how do you interpret this one? And I'm trying to teach him how to interpret it. And he goes, this is so much fun. I never do. God could be so much fun. I'm like, yeah, I know. I know. Yeah, it's cool. But anyway, then there's open heaven visions. You can have open heaven visions too. You'll find that Stephen, he was martyred in Acts 7. He was the first martyr, and he had an open vision of Jesus. Yes. The heavens were open. He saw Jesus standing at the right hand of God. Amen. And so, you know, I don't know if any of you have ever had something like that. I have never had a throne room type vision, but I did in a dream see the Lord coming down in a cloud, and he told me, he says, I'm coming soon. And that was about 3 years ago. So, you know, what soon is for God. One day is 1,000 years. I don't know. But anyway, so, but even Paul had a dream on the road to Damascus. That's how he got converted. I mean, here's a guy who's persecuting the Christians. I mean, he's killing them. He's throwing them in jail. He was ugly. You know? I mean, he just nasty thing. And then he can say later on that I haven't hurt anybody. And I'm thinking to myself, wow, he knows who he is in Jesus Christ. And we need to forget our past like he forgot his past. But he had an open vision of the Lord. And so people that back then that's very common for angels to show up to take you out and rescue you from different places. It is. It's true. I've had, you know, people come to me all the time and tell me that they have had angels rescue their children or themselves or all the time. It's commonplace. I want it to be commonplace for you guys too, and it will be commonplace. You know, now that you know that God does these kinds of things, it will be commonplace for you. You're going to see those kinds of things. God is going to open up your spiritual eyes. Pray Ephesians 1, 17, 18, 90, 17, 18, 90, that the eyes of your understanding will be enlightened. God is going to enlighten you. He's going to give you revelation. Yeah. Because that's just the way he is. Then there's a vision that comes veiled in a dream. That's in Daniel 4:9, where there was a dream, Belteshazzar, that's actually Daniel's name. He called Daniel the master of the magicians. Because I know the spirit of the holy gods is in there. Obviously, this king didn't really know there's only one God that gives the interpretation. And he said that he tells me the vision of my dream. So there are visions that are unveiled in dreams. In other words, they were so real that it was a vision of something that was really happening. And so these are the kinds of things that are available to all of us. I remember I had a vision in a dream, and in the dream, I was in a church, and one prophet was anointing another prophet, and this prophet touched the other prophet's to anoint him, I went down in the spirit. And in the dream, I had a vision. And there was a lot of people on horses, bad people on horses, men, coming and into this town. And oh, they were destroying all the children, all the children. And the bad part about it was, I mean, I'm in there screaming, no, not the children, not the children. I was devastated by these bad people that were doing this. And there were people that were standing around that were all dressed in red. Okay, but they were safe. But the children were being massacred. And then I woke up, and then two angels came to me in the dream part, not the vision part, but the dream part. And I didn't wake up. I mean, I woke up out of the vision. I was still actually sleeping. And in the dream, you know, two angels came to tell me that God had to use me quickly for some things because, and then they gave me the interpretation that the kids in the dream were the body of Christ that didn't know who they were in Christ yet, that they hadn't grown up yet. They were still babes. And when you're a baby in the kingdom of God, you're very vulnerable. Mm-hmm. You know, what is the most vulnerable thing in the kingdom?
An infant.
Even an animal infant can survive, but if you left a baby unattended, that baby would die. Mm-hmm. Okay? And so there's babies in the kingdom that the enemy is able to take out and destroy. And so, but the people who are standing there in red were the mature ones that were covered by the blood and understood who they were. They were mature. They couldn't touch them. It was only the infants that they were able to hurt. And I knew what God was saying. He says, what I've called you to do is to go out and build up the body of Christ. That was part of my gifting, was the teaching, is to bring you from an immature level to a mature level. I mean, we're all supposed to be maturing, right? I mean, I hope tomorrow I'm more mature than I was today. Yeah. So that what the enemy can do to me today, he can't do to me tomorrow. But anyway, so where do visions come from? I believe they come from the heart. And I think the heart is the key. I think the heart is God's workshop. The heart is the door. I think it's the ground where seed is planted. And I believe that the heart is like a swinging door between the physical and the spiritual world. And so I believe that as you plant the Word of God in you, you allow it to take root. And as it takes root, God is able to have those visions. Because you may not understand them, and you know, other than that. I think just planting the Word in your heart and getting revelation of the Word will give you those visions. That's why I really encourage you to go after the Word of God and get it planted in your heart. Because it's unless you get it in your heart, you're not going to have those visions. And so God is always going to show you your wrong thinking through visions and dreams. He's going to correct you. He's going to do all these kinds of things, just like he did with Peter and the animals. What is the purpose of visions? And so let's go and look at that just a little bit. Remember we talked about it's the way that God can make himself known to us? In Numbers 12:6, he said he makes himself. I think visions and dreams also are picture languages. God likes to speak to us in pictures. And I think that's a good way because a picture says a lot of words, doesn't it? Mm-hmm. A lot more words than just speaking something. When God gives us, and I think that's an easy way to show us something and to tell us something. A picture can speak 1,000 words. And I think his passion is for us to know his will, to know the fire of God, to know what's in his heart, to know about him and his character. See, he'll come to you in a vision or a dream, and he'll reveal what you need at that time. If you need to know about the goodness of God, he's going to come and reveal his goodness to you. If you need to know that he's faithful, he's going to come in dreams and visions and show you his faithfulness. If the character of God that you need the most in your life and to know about him, he does that through dreams and visions. And you can't combat it. You can't fight against it. It's really hard to fight against it because you're vulnerable. And so he'll implant that quickly into your heart and it'll stay. I'll tell you what, when I have visions, they stay. If you'll have has anybody ever had a vision in here? Okay, and I'll tell you what, you'll remember those things. They just, I had that dream, that one vision about the massacre about 3 years ago, and I can think of it right now, and it's like it was happening right in front of me. You know, those things, they make an impact on you. And God, he wants to share things with us through those. I think it's important that we all receive them. Dreams can be fleeting sometimes. Have you ever had a dream and you woke up and you're thinking, okay, I got to remember this now. I got to remember this. And then you go back to sleep and then you wake up and you're like, I know I had a dream. I don't remember a thing. You know what? Dreams can fly away. But I'll tell you what, you have a vision, and it's a genuine vision. It stays with you. It really does. I don't care how, you know, whether you had it at the beginning of the night or days after, weeks after, you will remember it.
Is it because you're wide awake when you're having a vision?
No, some of the visions you can have while you're sleeping. Abraham had a vision while he's deep in sleep. And he cut all those animals in advance, and God was doing a covenant with him, making a blood covenant with him. He cut the animals down in half, and then he fell into a deep sleep. And then the vision that he saw was the Lord walking through the halves and forming a blood covenant with him. Abraham didn't walk through it. Only the Lord did. You know, he didn't forget that. That was a promise. He was saying, look, he says, as far as I am concerned, you don't even have to walk through this. Because that was like, if you have, the blood covenant was, do to me as these animals if I break this covenant. That's kind of what that was. So that's why blood covenant is very strong. It is, it's a solid covenant. And so God was saying to him, you know, do to me if I break this covenant and what I promised to give you. You know, you are mine and I'm going to give you an inheritance. You're going to have a nation. So, you know, that was, you know, you bet. And he had that vision in a deep sleep. So you can have a vision in a deep sleep. So how can I receive visions? Well, grow roots. You have to grow roots. Plant yourself in the Word of God. Allow the Word of God to grow in you. You have to stay in the water. Just like you plant, have you ever cut a clip off of a plant and you know, before you plant it, you put it in water so it'll grow roots? And then you plant it, and then you're guaranteed that thing is going to live? That's what you need to do. You need to have to start growing roots. You have to get so into the Word of God that it becomes so part of you that the visions and the dreams come just like that. Mm. They're like everyday occurrences.
Yeah.
The more you're planted in the Word, the more they'll come. The more you memorize the Word, the more you read it, you get it into your mind, get it down into your heart, the more you're going to have visions. It's easy, but it's simple, but it's not easy. It takes time. The debar, to speak, you know, it also meant some other things. To give, to name, pronounce, to release, to tell, to think. These are all things that God wants to do. He wants to give to you. He wants to pronounce something over you. He wants to release something to you, or maybe release something from you. He wants to tell you something. He wants to tell you what he's thinking. Mm-hmm. That word says a lot on what God wants to do. And so I encourage you guys to just get in the Word, because getting in the Word is going to produce the visions. If we're walking in the anointing and the outpouring of His Spirit, we will see all these visions. We will see dreams and we'll be able to prophesy to people. And so our spirits are enlarged by His Spirit. And we need to allow God to impregnate His Word in us. And as we allow Him to impregnate His Word in us, we will be living witnesses to visions for Him. And God is going to speak to you in visions, and He's going to say, you know what, so-and-so needs your help. He'll give you the vision of it. He'll tell you in dreams also. I mean, God, like I said, it's not 101 ways that God speaks. It's more like a million and one ways. There's so many creative ways that God's going to get to you, and visions is just one of them. But He's just trying to remove, right now, He's trying to remove the scales of unbelief from your eyes. He wants you to know right now that He doesn't want you to stay babies. He wants you to realize that I want to speak to you in visions. I want to have two-way communication with you. I want you to be sometimes even interactive in the vision. I want you to say something to me. I want to say something back to you, just like Solomon in a dream, remember? He had a two-way conversation with God in the dream. What do you want? Give me wisdom. And the Lord's talking, okay, well, since you asked me for wisdom and not all this other stuff, I'm going to give you wisdom and all the other stuff. I mean, he had a two-way conversation in a dream. There's nothing to say that we can't have a two-way conversation with our God in a dream, because if Solomon can do it, we can do it.
Amen.
You know, we can have those things, but it's just a matter of growing up and believing that God wants to do these things for us. And so God is achieving His dreams, His visions, His plans through peoples whose hearts want to embrace His purposes. And when you embrace his purposes and you say, you know what? Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Your thing being done in me as you desire in heaven. What I see there, Father, I want to bring down here. I want your heaven and the thing that you had planned in heaven to be done on the earth. I want to be used for that. Then God will use you. And he will develop those dreams and visions in you. And, you know, he's always looking for people who want to fulfill his plan on this earth. Father, we thank you for your word tonight. I thank you, Father, that you're going to speak in visions to each of us. You're going to show us not just internal visions, Father, but you're going to show us external visions. You're going to allow us to see into your realm. You're going to allow us to communicate through these visions with you. And Father, I thank you, Lord God, that each one of these women is they're open to hear what you have to say with this method. We want to be open to any way that you want to speak to us. This is just one of the ways, Father, but, you know, it's an awesome way, and it's one of your ways. You said that's how you speak to your people, and so we're just going to believe it. We're going to receive it in Jesus' name, and I thank you, Father, that you're going to start revealing your teaching, your plans and your purposes through visions to each of us this night, and I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.